Yo, what is going on, everyone? Y'all know what time it is. It is that time for the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com, the JPEG Sports Network. I'm your host, Eddie Greer, the third for the EG3 show, which is all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, are three biggest divisions in all of sports, all of them in the semifinals. And man, the intensity ratcheted up double over the weekend, especially in the Cup Series. My oh my, let's not waste any more time, folks. Getting you set for Texas, the Lone Star State. All three divisions in action from here all the way through to the checkered flag at Homestead, Miami. It is time for 3 minutes with EG3. The first three, Darian Grubb. His name has been all over the place as far as crew chief goes. Drivers needing crew chief, especially around Hendrick Motorsports. Darian Grubb, the well-traveled veteran, will be the crew chief for William Byron next year in the 24 car, which Chase Elliott is piloting that number through the end of Homestead. Grubb, of course, was the crew chief of Tony Stewart when he won his third championship. Now, William Byron, depending on how the ending goes for him in the Xfinity Series, could be the Xfinity Series champ, but of course, two more races decide that. Byron looking to lock himself in to the championship four this weekend. Number two, Clint Bowyer. Solid run at Martinsville. Came to an abrupt end. Well, not on the racetrack, but off of it. Post-race inspection. Not passing the equality of the car, did not want the in-car camera, something along those lines, not wanting that as well. Clint Bowyer in the 14 team penalized, and here comes the dreaded word, encumbered. Third place finish does not count. Clint Bowyer survived that madness in the last 10 laps of Martinsville, but all that for naught, because of not matching the weight without the in-car camera. And where did this come from? No penalties to the 24 and 11 cars. That of Chase Elliott, for those of you who don't know, the 24 car, like I stated, with William Byron and Denny Hamlin, the culprits of last weekend's altercation on the backstretch at Martinsville. we're gonna get all up in that here in the next segment. But yes, it's playoff racing. It's what is expected. We didn't really see this. It was playoff racing, and 10 races, 10 drivers for the championship. The first year lived up to its billing, and then you saw kind of the declines in that, and then it went up to 12. There was some drama with Richmond and all that other stuff. And now NASCAR tweaked it again. Big tweaks with the setting up the playoff format solely for the Cup Series. You know how that led up to Gordon Keselowski and all that other stuff. Beating, banging on each other, fisticuffs at Texas a few years ago. Oh, by the way. And now you get everybody, all the divisions in playoff format, just because of the playoff intensity of what is going on and what's at stake. We're at the point of the year now where you can't play nice anymore. And if you saw last Sunday night's race, which ended under lights, history was made last weekend at Martinsville. Cup racing under lights. Well, it did not start under lights. It started midday, just after 3 o'clock Eastern Time, after 2 Central Time, for those of you living in the central area, central states of Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas. You know, You know how it is here on the EG3 show here on KCSportsRadio.com. But all said and done, man, Chase Elliott, another golden opportunity, that golden ticket, the homestead gone, thanks to Denny Hamlin's other plans that he stated in the post-race comments that you have got the situation erases itself. That yes, you know, we probably wouldn't have seen this in the early rounds, the round of 12, the round of 16, things like that. But here, in this case, Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, we're going to get all down. This was a total domino effect of what happened at Martinsville. It's just crazy for almost every other Martinsville race. We have seen something go down. In effect, both drivers, that in the case of Joey Logano, Matt Kenseth a couple years ago, it set up to be a Logano who already won a race at Charlotte a couple years ago. Then Kenseth was battling for the lead. Excuse me, got in the middle of something here. But yes, in the middle for the lead. Kenseth, with two laps to go, gets taken out by Logano, and then carried it over to the next round that Logano gets taken out, and Logano dominated this race. And then Kenseth had other ideas. The payback was on. So are we going to see that at a mile and a half at Texas? We'll have to see about that, because it has higher consequences. Of course, you're going at full speed right now, and you don't really know what is going to happen here as we get all so close to getting the opportunity to see who will get to the championship for you. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in a kind of a middle of a text right now, but I'll get back. I'll do this at the same time, trying to do two things at once. Sorry, but so exciting to see this type of racing, drivers getting mad at each other. I don't really understand, and sorry, I'm actually kind of off track a little bit, but I'll get it back on course here after this little point I'm going to bring up. The product of this racing, I don't understand the fact of these drivers talking to each other. Yes, almost every driver has family going on right now. But at the same time, you're battling to get in to an opportunity to race, or trying to get yourself, for those drivers to get in position to get themselves to Miami to race for a championship right now. So yes, meaning that every race gets closer for these guys, you have only two chances, and the great possibility is we might have two spots being locked up. It depends on what happens with the situation here at Texas. Martin Truex Jr., all those points gathered in the regular season, and look at where that look at where it has put that team, right where it needs to be. And especially if that team goes out, my team goes out there and did what they did at Martinsville, that was unexpected. Let's be honest, I hate Martinsville. I probably don't like it more than Martin Truex Jr. does. But that team did what it needed to do, and then got even rewarded with an opportunity. There's probably still a win at Martinsville, but Kyle Busch punched his ticket to Miami by knocking his own teammate out of the way, Denny Hamlin, which destroyed all over the back bumper of Chase Elliott, who he jacked the rear end big time. Never had an opportunity to let Chase Elliott make the turn. Denny Hamlin was all about getting up underneath his butt, going and taking him out. And then Chase Elliott, another ripple effect from that. Keselowski, I don't know what he was thinking, taking the high side instead of getting the low side. That was the preferred lane. That's the preferred lane. That's the easy choice. But I, you know, given the circumstances, I understand that you're trying to get at least the best lane choice. But that wasn't the right call, in my opinion. That was the wrong call to take Keselowski to the high side and let a driver who's very, very, very hungry in Chase Elliott. And you saw what happened there. But in this instance here, the two out of three times that we've seen Saul beaten and banging last Sunday night, that is that Keselowski didn't wreck, and even and Denny Hamlin didn't wreck, but Denny Hamlin made a big-time mistake. The driver that he is, and yes, I had him in my championship four picks, and I still... And I'm gonna leave it alone, and I still do. But Denny Hamlin's gonna have a big old bullet target on his back here this weekend, and especially next weekend. I have that circle for Chase Elliott, because Chase Elliott in the first race at Phoenix led a bunch of laps here, and he was in position to win it, but situation got kind of chaos with that team, making a couple of mistakes on pit road, and Elliott finishing a top 10. But this 24th team has been probably the third best car, maybe the second best car, but he's definitely in the top 5. I would put him third behind the 18, the 78, and definitely if Chase Elliott can overcome this, and you know, he got his first NASCAR win at Texas a few years ago in the Xfinity Series in that 9 car. He'll have the opportunity to do, if he can pull this off, pull this comfort behind win off, or behind in this situation, that could be really, really huge. And yes, it's huge for another thing, get your first win, and not only that, you punch your ticket automatically, that golden ticket to Miami. EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. Yeah, sorry about all the little mini pastas going on, trying to get a text out here to a family member here at the start of our podcast. Yes, a lot to get to, and we're just getting started here on the EG3 show here on KCSportsRadio.com. So kind of switching gears for a little bit here. The Truck Series was in action last Saturday, and Upset City here came to play at Martinsville. Who is that man? Noah Gregson, getting his first career NASCAR win at Martinsville in the trucks last weekend, and made a bold move, aggressive move on a playoff driver, that and Matt Crafton, who was leading till that final restart. Gregson put a move on him, and the rest was history. Gregson, who came awfully so close in Canada with a lot of aggressive moves, got the job done. And after that, he was so stoked. He climbed the fence a la Elio Castroneves, and then decided to puke after the fact. But none of that makes you feel any better, though, getting that first win. And again, a non-playoff driver, whether it's in the Xfinity Series mainly or in the trucks, gets another win and denies a veteran driver like Matt Crafton and Johnny Sauter an opportunity to automatically get themselves punched in to Miami. That golden ticket to Miami denied is going to have to wait at least till tomorrow night for the trucks when they take action on a fast mile in AV. So there's a lot going on this weekend, the next 2 weeks really, to decide the fate of some of these drivers. You're going to race for a championship or you're not. So that's plain and simple there. But the playoff drivers here to put on focus: Matt Crafton, who finished in the second spot. And then you have Johnny Sauter, the defending champ, who's in third. We got some breaking news here concerning the trucks here. I'll get to that here in a second. Johnny Sauter, the defending champ, finishing a third. Let's just go over the top 10 real quick here. From the Texas Roadhouse 200, Noah Gregson capped off his first win. Crafton, Sauter, Harrison Burton, the K&N East champ. Fourth, Todd Gilliland. Fifth, Stuart Friesen, Iceman, in the top 5. then actually it's top six, excuse me, my bad. Cass Gralla, Christopher Bell, who had kind of an off race, still finishing eighth. Ben Rhodes and Austin Cedric, your top 10 playoff drivers. Bell and Rhodes in the back end, and then Austin Cedric rallied from behind to finish in a 10th spot. And then the only non-playoff driver outside of that mix, gotta go to, again, John Hunter Nemechek, who for some reason likes to start off bad. But in this case here, you're putting yourself in a major hole, especially when you have no margin for error in this instance. So there is that situation for John Hunter Nemechek. He's going to have to go up here next races to try to win. That's just no doubt. When you put yourself in an early hole in the first race of any section, playoff section, you have the opportunity to really put yourself in a hole, which you do not want to be in. That's what John Hunter Nemechek once again finds himself in. I guess he likes to dig himself in a hole, bigger holes. So if he's going to be a part of Miami, he's got a lot of work to do here this weekend. Looking at the standings right now, Christopher Bell still has a 12-point advantage over Matt Crafton. Ben Rhodes and, excuse me, I skipped right over Johnny Sauter, Matt Crafton, and Ben Rhodes right now is your four right now. Austin Cindric is 11 points back, and Johnny, and I already talked about Johnny Nemechek, got work to do, son. For that instance, and tomorrow night, the trucks will be action. Let me pull that up real fast here. The Jag Metals 350 tomorrow night resume action in the round of six. Again, let me refresh it for you. The round of six for the trucks tomorrow night, Texas, Fort Worth, going to go down. 7 o'clock Central Time. For those of you listening on the East Coast, that's going to be at 8 o'clock. Fox Sports 1 continues to carry the truck action, and MRN will have coverage of that. And the breaking news that I want to mention, yes, the trucks are on track right now as I speak on the podcast right now, getting prepared for that race. And let me check in on that real quick here, as Grant Enfinger is leading the second, I believe is the final practice session of the evening. As playoff drivers is concerned, Austin Cindric leads that bunch, sitting there in the third spot. Johnny Sauter is fifth right now. John Hunter Nemechek is sixth. Ben Rhodes, eighth. Christopher Bell is 10th, and all the way down here, Matt Crafton sitting here in the 16th spot. That is your playoff update from Texas. And then transferring over to the Xfinity Series side, the Xfinity Series will be in action here on Saturday afternoon for the Xfinity bunch as they resume their semifinal playoff action. That race is the O'Reilly Auto Parts 300. Coverage beginning on PRN. Actually, we'll have this race on lock, and NBCSN will have it on television here on Saturday. That time, for those of you who are interested in checking that out, that is actually, as I'm staring at it, is going to be a night race. Interesting. So 7:30 Central Time. That's going to be 8:30 on the East Coast. So yeah, I just found that out. So that's interesting. That's always been an afternoon race for the Xfinity Series, but that's going to be a prime time. So we're going to have two prime time races, and then of course the Cup Series will end under the lights as well. It'll start around just after 2 o'clock. It'll end under the lights just like Martinsville did. But the Xfinity Series, the last time you're listening to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. The last time the Xfinity Series was on track a cup regular wins, not a cup regular, I should say, a truck series regular winning the race. Christopher Bell putting a slide job on Eric Jones. Eric Jones wasn't happy about it. Bell went on to upset the field and become the second driver to win in three divisions this year. Of course, Christopher Bell, it goes all the way back to the offseason where he won the Oklahoma Nationals. I can't remember off the top of my head what the event is. It's one of the more bigger dirt track races in all the country. But Bell won that. And then, of course, Christopher Bell is in the middle of trying to get to Florida to race for a championship. So Christopher Bell has had an amazing season. And we'll see what happens here. But the big story coming out of here, like I keep saying, that the Xfinity Series, the playoff drivers have yet to win in any of these playoff races. Will tomorrow night be any different? Or are we going to see this play out all the way until Homestead? Is the key question. And even then, you still have guys battling for wins. These non-Xfinity Series drivers, slash truck drivers, or however you want to shake it out. These guys are spoiling the fun. And the way that this trend is going, we might not see the Xfinity Series. Everyone's talking about with Kyle Larson being out of the playoff mix, him becoming the first driver, non-playoff driver, to win a championship race. Well, you could probably put more, I would probably bet more on the Xfinity Series side more than the Cup side, because of the fact that we have not seen these playoff drivers step up and take action. So, I mean, could it change tomorrow night? We'll have to see what cards unfold with that. EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. Before we take our first time out of the afternoon EG3 show, stay tuned. Keep your eyes out on Facebook. Facebook.com/EG3Show for the latest in what's going on. Things are starting to pick up championship-wise there, so you might want to stay tuned for that. Also, Twitter, @EG3_show. Once again, that is @EG3_show for the latest in what's going on. And we should be able to get more updates as we get closer and closer here to Miami here in a couple of weeks. We will know pretty much the 12 drivers total will be racing for a championship. And that's the total between the three championship races that's going to go down in Miami coming very soon. Let's take a timeout, ladies and gentlemen, right here on the EG3 show. Time to break down first data 500 when we come back. Man, the last 10 laps were probably the craziest laps ran up to this point. You're listening to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com.
Like that.
EG3 show is running right here on the KCSportsRadio.com. Eddie Greer in the house. As always, for the EG3 show, the latest in the world of NASCAR, Camping World, Xfinity, Monster Energy, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. For those of you who are interested in the Xfinity Series race, of course, those drivers, those playoff drivers, Justin Allgaier, William Byron, Elliott Sadler, the junior motorsports juggernaut, 1, 2, 3, and then Brendan Poole, probably the biggest surprise in these Xfinity Series playoffs so far, with a 5-point advantage over Matt Tiff right now, going in to Saturday night's big time showdown in Fort Worth. So, and then the other drivers outside the line right now, Ryan Reed, who's a point behind Matt Tiff, Daniel Hemric. Actually, Ryan Reed and Daniel Hemric are tied. So, and then the last driver in that mix is Cole Custer. So they're all right there in the mix. It's definitely going to take somebody in that little cluster to have a bad race and to open the door for somebody else. So, again, Junior Motorsports right now in control, but funny things happen in these playoffs, and we've seen it, especially in the Cup side, especially with what took place last Sunday. It can happen. We'll see who strikes and which one of these playoff drivers has the capability of stepping their game up and getting up front and trying to mix it up with some of these guys out here, especially a couple of these Cup guys out here trying to win these races. Speaking of Cup guys, that's a nice transition to the Cup side. First out of 500, where all hell pretty much broke loose from the fact that the first 350 laps were a little bit tame, and then the carnage that happened. And kind of an interesting stat that I thought about last night listening to one of the racing podcasts. We have seen the big one now. 3 consecutive weeks in a row. Okay, you know what you're going to get at Talladega, right? And then you turn around, Kansas, which I was at, Kansas City, that was something else. That was more bizarre racing that I've ever seen at Kansas Speedway. And then a new round, 8 drivers battling for 4 spots. The last 10 laps, when the lights went dim, everybody started driving over their heads like it was nothing. We had several battles out here on the racetrack. Of course, I mentioned the top of the pod, Kyle Busch, out of all this, quietly, pretty much, that was the story, because everyone was focusing on the Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin situation. Kyle Busch sneaking in there. I shouldn't say sneaking, but pretty much puts a stamp to his golden ticket to Miami, and he'll be racing for a championship again for the 3rd consecutive year. Kyle Busch will be a part of the Final Four, the championship four at Homestead. And yes, there was this saying thrown out that he can play around the next 2 races. I wouldn't really, you know, put it playing around as a pretty categoristic issue when it comes to preparing for a championship. You still have to go out here and race these guys. I mean, not to an extent you don't have that. Yes, you don't have that pressure that's put on the other guys, maybe, that are behind the cut line, or like Kevin Harvick, who is just right there, 3 points above Jimmy Johnson right now, heading into the weekend. But Kyle Busch can definitely start preparing for the Final Four again, and we'll see him in a few weeks. But going back to Martinsville, it all started with 10 laps to go. Keselowski had one of the better cars out here along with Kyle Busch. But Chase Elliott, by far, he had the best car on the racetrack, especially in the second half of the race. But I got to question that call by the 2-team Paul Wolf and why, or Brad Keselowski, whoever made this call of taking the higher lane choice. Pretty much you're asking Chase Elliott to take go in there and take it away from you, pretty much. That's what you're telling me. And I mean, it's easy to say, pretty much put up Thursday night quarterback, Monday night quarterback, or whatever you want to call it these days. But in that situation here, I would have just taken the preferred lane choice. Yes, I know it's easier to say, you know, what it is now. But in that moment, in my mind going, and that was questioned too by the broadcast team of NBC, NASCAR and NBC as well, that why did Keselowski take the high side? It just, why? So, but hey, Chase Elliott took complete advantage, knocked him out of the way, set sail, and then Denny Hamlin comes along, and he has other ideas for Chase Elliott, basically punting him to the wall, and then the two of them, after the checkered flag falls, which all carnage, all cars wadded up on the front stretch, like we're at a derby or something. So, but that, the Elliott Hamlin situation wasn't the only thing that was going on. Kevin Harvick, Ryan Blaney, that was the other little duel that was going on. Little bit of chatting going on after the end of the race. And these two couldn't get away from each other all afternoon long. These guys were like buses on lockdown, pretty much. You had to follow where everyone goes. Ryan Blaney trying to get in the championship for Kevin Harvick right now, sitting in the fourth spot currently. Harvick beating and banning his way through Ryan Blaney to hang on for a top five finish. And he spun on the front. He was one of those guys that spun up in that carnage as well. The two of them talk after the race. And I don't know where that stands right now. You know, Ryan Blaney and Kevin Harvick, they had different opinions. Kevin Harvick did not like the way he was raced by Blaney. And Blaney saying, you know, whatever, you know, make sure it doesn't happen again, you know, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, these young guys this year, you know, we've talked about them plenty this year. The Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, especially lately with Chase Elliott, the run that he's put on in these playoffs has been incredible. A couple more, Ricky Stenhouse, a few more to mention, Eric Jones, Suarez, these guys, and then you have, again, Bubba Wallace next year, William Byron, Alex Bowman, got these young muscle-up guys getting ready, getting set here. It just, you know, the tide is slowly turning now. These young guys, young gunners, they're not backing down from these veterans that have been in the sport for a long time. And you throw Joey Logano still in that mix, in those young guns, with the Harvicks of the world and things like that. So it's very, very exciting and very refreshing to see the next generation out here battling with the old vets and taking it to them. Now, you still got these veterans still, the Keselowski, the Truex, Harvick up here right now in the four, and out of all of them, you know, Truex is sitting right where he needs to be. And he, at the top of the podcast, I talked about the possibility this weekend of seeing two spots clinched. One of them could be a playoff driver. The other one could be Truex. And here's the reason why. For those of you who don't know, Martin Truex Jr. won all those stages this year. And then, of course, you know, sweeping a couple of weight races this year. Las Vegas and Kentucky. The dominance that this team has put on. You know, Denver Broncos, they're really struggling right now to find a quarterback right now. And I don't know. I'm not a big hockey fan anymore. I don't know how the Avalanche are doing. But this city of Denver has embraced this team that's really come on and have made them their names known as one of the juggernauts. And if they can complete this with the championship, they're going to be talked about there for a long, long time. And a lot of people at that city, Denver, Colorado, have really turned their attention to this team. And yes, you know, Denver has, they're known for a good defense, Von Miller, all that. But Martin Truex Jr., Cole Pern and company, man, if they can pull this off, finish it off first, they have to clinch a spot first, and which hopefully will be this weekend. I mean, he still doesn't have to win, but hey, you know, do what you got to do, right? So they can pull this off, get themselves to Miami, race for a championship, and then beat whoever's in it besides Kyle Busch. and a couple other drivers yet to be determined. They're going to be sitting up top of the Colorado State right there. And then, now on top of that, of course, you're going to be a champion of the world. So, make it known. Hopefully, Martin can get it done this weekend. And, man, he put himself in tremendous position. And you got to say, if he can get over 80 points, which I believe, you know, doing the numbers, I believe he can punch his ticket without even winning a race. Obviously, the obvious factor in this is he's earned it. The regular season, again, dominant in the regular season for the second year in a row. Taking care of business. Not making no enemies, like he said in this post-race conference. Not doing that. Mind his own business. Having an opportunity to win. Not only to win that race, but a good solid points day. That's what I tweeted out last on my own Twitter page, which is, by the way, @EdEdEdie_EG3. No, by the way, you're still listening to the EG3 show here on KCSportsRadio.com. But again, Truex has that ability. If he can extend it some more, then he has to be the automatic lock to get in and not have to worry really too much about next week, even though, yeah, you still have to race. Again, the Kyle Busch story, Kyle Busch rule by winning Martinsville last week. And then you can set your sights on Homestead as well, which they tested, which we have not seen them test very many this year. And they tested over there, and they were one of the top dogs. Again, of course, why not? So, again, Toyota, the 18 is a Toyota as well. It's going to be very interesting. It has been 1878 all year long, along with the 42. The 42 is out of the picture, and he was not, by the way, he was not a factor at Martinsville. I thought, you know, he was quick at practice, things like that. He was very racy in practice, race trim, but during the race, and he crashed out to boot. So Kyle Larson, for the second week in a row, well, I should say at Martinsville, was a non-factor. You think he would be more of a factor this weekend with Texas being a mile and a half. And again, for refresher, it's been repaved earlier before the first race back early spring, which Ryan Blaney was the top dog before he, his crew messed up on pit road, and then Ryan Blaney decided to ram Corey LaJoy. That cost him even more, so the frustration, that will definitely cost you if you decide to do that. Beating Bang on a mile and a half track, that's the goal, and we can't do that. That is, it's just not the right way to do a payback, especially with the situation that's the big cloud that is falling over to Fort Worth this weekend with Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin. So again, that's going to be really interesting, especially when we get to next week at Phoenix. We'll see what the future holds, at least for this weekend goes, how the things play out, how the dice rolls in the favor of one of these drivers. But I wouldn't count Chase Elliott out of the picture just yet. Just the way that he has been going about things, especially this postseason, where he's just been all about being up front and challenging for these wins, but for some odd reason, he just can't get finished the deal. I mean, either with it's Denny Hamlin or getting chased down by Joe Gibbs Racing, Kyle Busch. It seems to me that Joe Gibbs Racing does not want Chase Elliott to win his first race in the playoffs. It is destined to do that because Kyle Busch come all the way from 4 seconds back to hawk down Elliott to win the race, and then Denny Hamlin comes out of nowhere, pretty much almost getting a lap down early in the race, and then being in contention for that race win to try to get him to Miami, and then Denny Hamlin takes out Elliott. So Joe Gibbs Racing, they might have a plan for Chase Elliott to not let him in to Miami. And for that, folks, we're going to take our final time out here on the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. Number of the week, when we come back, and of course, we'll go playoff drivers, top 10, and we will end our show like last week with Behind the Wheel, little preview. It is all hectic. Martinsville, you're going to hear all the frustrations about all the drivers, including the moment that could be the game changer of the 2017 postseason. EG3 show when we come back right here on KCSportsRadio.com. Yo, EG3 Show is back right here on KCSportsRadio.com. JPEG Sports, Nerk, Eddie Greer. You know what it is. Playoff edition, once again, Texas style, here this afternoon on the EG3 Show. And, of course, I said in the last segment there that this race could end under the lights. Well, this race will start just after noon Central Time, 1 o'clock to be exact. That's 2 o'clock East Coast, so it might not end in the lights. Might come close, but it won't with the Cable World Truck Series and Xfinity Series races under the lights in prime time. And oh, by the way, NBCSN has coverage on the television set. PRN double dipping this weekend on the radio side with the Xfinity Series playoff race in the second round of the round of eight in the Cup Series. Playoff drivers, well, let's just go to the through the top 10 real quick from the first data at 500. Kyle Busch won the race. Well, obviously, if you guys been listening, paying attention all afternoon long, Martin Truex Jr., not the best racetrack for him in his career, but somehow coming home, he ran in the top 5 and 6 throughout most of the day. Came up big. That's a sign of this team. It's ready to finally bring that championship home. Second, Clint Bowyer. Third, I mentioned at the top that Clint Bowyer's team got hit with a penalty, not matching the weight of the car without the in-car camera. And that third place finish won't count. Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, your top five. Trevor Bayne, where the heck did he come from? Out of all that madness that happened on the front stretch, Trevor Bayne credited with a 6th place finish. That is crazy. Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, Matt Kenseth, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr., after being eliminated 2 weeks ago at KC, comes back to finish in the top 10. Roush Fenway Racing, both cars in the top 10. Are you kidding me? That is something else right there. Playoff drivers, real quick course. Busch is in his way. He is packing his bags for Miami. Truex second. Keselowski, Harvick, Hamlin, who finished in the top 10 despite dumping Chase Elliott. Ryan Blaney eighth. Kenseth. He's out. Jimmy Johnson continues to sleep. 12th. And then going down here the line some more. Let's run through here. Kyle Larson is out, and then looking for Chase Elliott, who finished 27th, and he has definitely got work to do. Now, he does need some help, but let's just state the obvious. He needs to win this race or the next one and have a little luck on his side, finally, to get himself in position to try to make another run for Homestead, and I'm not counting him out just yet. The other guys that are below the cut line, below Harvick, Truex, Keselowski, Harvick right now have the other spots right now, with Truex being obvious that he could very likely, if he does like he did at Martinsville, could clinch at Texas, because 60 is the most points that you can earn via you win stages and whatnot throughout a race. And if he can double the amount, total amount that he earned, he has a chance. But again, let's not rule out the factor that, again, Martin Truex Jr., the mile and a half king, will have a chance to punch his ticket officially with a win. The dominance that this team has had on the mile and a half, and he finished in the top 10 at Texas. He didn't really have the best car at the end of that race, but he's going to be a player for sure. And you should expect the same players, because you can't or Houdini and expect to be have fast speed, speeding your race car for a mile and a half. That's what Brad Keselowski has been begging for, and the 29 point spread that he has right now, Keselowski does on the cut line. We have learned our lesson by now. That is not safe. So yes, in Truex, he's going to have something really bad happen to him in the next 2 weeks for him not to lock himself in. But this team is all about business right now. For Keselowski, he's going to have to find a way to do what he normally does, the Keselowski way, to do it on his own terms and not follow anybody else's. And Kevin Harvick right there, definitely not safe at all with the defending champ, seven-time champ, Jimmy Johnson, breathing down his neck, 3 points out. And again, the stage points come to a factor here this weekend. I shouldn't tell you about how important that is. I ain't going to go much into that. So, yeah, you've been paying attention the last couple weeks. You know how stage points are important. Johnson, Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott are outside looking in right now. Of course, if one of those guys wins, they, of course, passing post-tech, they will get their golden ticket to Homestead to race for the championship in a couple of weeks. So, a lot on the line. Texas last year. Last year's race, of course, you saw this was a different racetrack than I'm pulling up last year's race here. And the defending champ, of course, Carl Edwards. This race started in the under the lights due to weather in the area. Whether we're going to have weather in the area or not, it remains to be seen. But Carl Edwards, who last year was the mile and a half king, gave that to Martin Truex Jr. this year. Martin Truex Jr., oh, by the way, finished third in last year's race, by the way. And then Chase Elliott, there's that name again. Chase Elliott finished fourth. So Chase Elliott, again, let's not count this cat out just yet. I'm not counting him out either because we have seen the performance from the 24 team in general this year. He has been stout. The 48 has not. And the 48 still hanging around. It still baffles me. Somehow, I think in my back of my mind, I think somehow Jimmy Johnson's still going to get in to the championship four. Somehow. That's just in the back of my mind. I know this. But I think Chase Elliott, think he's got a better chance to get in, to make something happen, be that Kevin Harvick quote-unquote guy, to come up in the clutch and get it done, overcome what happened at Martinsville. And that's what I'm going to be paying attention to this weekend. Can that team overcome it? Because we saw a couple years ago, Joe Logano being as dominant as he was, taken out by Matt Kenseth due to those two, them tangling up at Kansas, doing this situation. It's well known, and those guys couldn't recover. So from that, it'll be interesting to see how these two fare at Texas once those cars hit the racetrack on tomorrow for practice and qualifying this weekend. It's going to be interesting. And then you also got Ryan Blaney. Obviously, he was the top dog the last time we were at Texas on freshly new paved surface. The fast cat swept both stages and then made a mistake. Well, the team made a mistake on pit road, got him behind. Ryan Blaney was frustrated, and as I mentioned a couple of times on this podcast today, he ran into Corey LaJoy, made that car bad, ill handling, and that was that. So can't make any more mistakes. You make a mistake here, you're done. That's pretty blunt at this point. It's too close to the championship that you just can't have mistakes, especially via driver. You can control your own destiny. That's set 80% driver. The 20% is all about, hopefully, you have everything intact with the car and not having your engine blown. Just ask Kyle Larson that from a couple of weeks ago. So a lot can happen this weekend. Kyle Busch, we already locked into the field of four, the final four here in 2 weeks now. So it's really getting close here. All the racing going to go on. It should be a fun weekend in Fort Worth. And I'm just going to keep an eye out for how the 24 responds this weekend. And, of course, obviously, my guy Truex. And can MTJ lock down the spot as well? Number of the week here on the EG3 show this week. I said it in the last segment. 3. That's how many times Kyle Busch now will be racing for a championship. 3rd consecutive straight year with Adam Stevens to put up note. He'll be racing for a championship. The other 3 is yet to be decided. And like I keep repeating, 2 of those spots could be on lockdown if things play out the way that I see. But racing is a funny thing. Have to put it on pause to see what happens after the checkered flag of the AAA Texas 500. And Noah Gregson is the 10th driver to join a list of getting his first NASCAR win at the Paperclip of Martinsville. Congratulations to Kyle Busch, who had a great weekend last week. His driver, Noah Gregson, won the race, truck race, and Kyle Busch getting himself to Homestead. So Kyle Busch will look to play spoiler here this weekend and try to deny the rest of these drivers opportunity to do that, but it's going to be a gunslinging fight here this weekend at Texas. Folks, that's going to do it for the talking part of the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. Coming up next, Behind the Wheel, Martinsville was the craziest race yet. Keep saying crazy every week. It seems to be Talladega was crazy, Kansas up the notch, and then Martinsville was even crazier yet. So Texas, you got some work to do, baby. Woo! Let's go. Martinsville coming up next, Behind the Wheel right now. Martinsville, it's going to go down. Texas, we are coming. We're coming in hot. This has been you're listening to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. And after, of course, Behind the Wheel, you'll hear a closed down music. Texas, let's go!
A picturesque setting for a racetrack, probably one of the best that we go to throughout the course of the year. So much pressure on these eight guys still alive. If you win this race, you know you're going to be in the final four.
First off, really nice job getting us all to this point of the season. Let us know what you need. Get this round kicked off on the right note.
All right, bud. Back on your track today. Let's own it.
Cold day for a race, but still a good day for a win. Stay warm, execute all day.
Long day here. 500 laps. Chip away at it. Have something to run up at the end. Have fun.
Green flag waves. Joey Logano takes off and pulls out in front of the field into turn one. And the fastest car out there right now is Brad Keselowski.
You're doing good. Just take care of it.
Brad Keselowski, Logano, and Ryan Blaney. You can tell that those three teams are really working good together, and it's showing right now.
Holy cow, Blaney is doing a hell of a job.
High marks, the young Ryan Blaney right now. He is like a pit bull in that outside lane. Will not let go.
Destroying my tires up here.
Yes, I'll get you down as soon as I can.
Brian Keselowski slips to the inside. Keselowski to the point, then Joey Logano.
You would never know these guys are teammates, and they're still going at it off turn two.
Tough for teammates to work together when Kyle Busch is less than a car length behind you.
Let them beat each other up. You run your race.
Faster than anyone here, Joey.
Stage win number 7 for Keselowski as he comes across the line.
All right, what's your weakness now? What do you want me to try to work on here?
I'm pretty happy.
Let's play a little. See what I got. Pretty fast on pit right there, bud. Session 11.
All right.
Green flag coming out to begin stage number 2.
Kyle away with the lead.
He's going to run us on the curb. He's fair game to run up the track.
Stay in it, man. Stage point. Keep working your ass off here, man.
2 laps to go to complete this stage, and the battle for the lead is side by side at the line. Brad down to the inside. Kyle now to the outside.
Keselowski, he gets it done. Keselowski takes the lead off turn number 2.
Tight behind. Watch your crossover.
Can't make a warning to go. I got a lot of going on up here. They're beating the hell out of each other.
Brad Keselowski, he will see the green checkered flag flying.
A lot of races to do yet.
How much did we help you that last time?
Obviously not enough.
We're underway again.
Green flag, you're clear.
Every time I freaking get close to somebody, it just slides the back out.
Keep running our race. We're in the game here.
One more, watch your crossover.
Chase Elliott to the point, lap 385.
Nice work, take care of it now. Nice and smooth. Got a left rear tire rub here. Try to adjust your track bar down or up, see if it'll clear it up a little bit.
Brad Keselowski and him got together going to turn 1.
First cut of flat. Meter might have a tire rub or something.
We're seeing the caution flag out, Carl Long.
Hey, right open this time.
Who's going to be off hit right first?
Go, all the way.
Chase Elliott, first in, first off. Green flag waves again at Martinsville Speedway.
24 is hitting the 2, pretty good, Dave.
Didn't leave a gain, you have top 2 playing bumper tag. Those guys didn't play nice early. We're in the ball game.
Still about 1.5 over the 11.
Number 10, maybe we're going to have a problem.
7 in, inside, inside.
Bank, Kyle.
18 got to 22, new got in at 24. 22 is going to have a major problem here.
Big left rear spoke, just keep working it.
There he goes around in turn 2.
Left rear is down, guys. Caution's out, caution's out.
Green.
Keselowski to the outside, they bag. Keselowski all the way to the wall. Chase Elliott to the lead.
Do what they call race in this.
He didn't even try to make a corner, their fault.
I know he didn't. He didn't even start on the bottom lane. He knew what he was going to do.
Chase Elliott has the lead. Denny Hamlin on the attack.
You into 24.
Pushing you.
Push! Oh, Elliott spins!
Oh, he just wrecked us.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that was pretty much straight up dumping him.
Yeah, he definitely wrecked me.
He checked up way early.
Is what happened what I think happened, or am I skewed?
Sorry, he's over on your bumper and crashed you.
That's what I figured.
10-4.
Good to know, thanks.
Kenny just wrecked the out of Chase. Didn't even try to pass him. He just drove right through the back of him. Two playoff guys take out another playoff guy. That's how they're racing each other up front.
Doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of love anywhere.
I love you, man.
Yeah, I do too. I'll just say another racetrack.
It'll be a two-lap race to finish it here.
KB is clear with you. Just you and him.
Outside 11.
All right, they're going to hit. Come on, come on, come on. Hit the... Let's go.
Inside 78 knows. Still there. Just got to beat him to the line. Beat him to the line. Beat him to the line. Yes, sir. Checkered.
Damn it. Second. Damn. Big red behind you. Oh, front straight, straight.
Oh, job, man.
I didn't expect it from a teammate. Come on now.
No, it's hard to swallow.
You okay, bud?
Yeah.
Well?
Oh, rough day.
What a mess that was.
Tell you something, that 21 is a freaking moron and needs to get punched in the head.
Then he got moved, got turned on our nose, and then he just kept turning left into us, trying to get straight back out.
24 is waiting on us on the back stretch. We'll keep the guys close.
Screw him.
Be smart. Be smart.
All right. Face to face, guys. Outside the car.
It is Kyle Busch going to victory lane.
And going to Miami.
I'm so damn happy I could cry, driver. Way to go, buddy.